Radio.
Arguments are not going to attract people. Winning is going to attract people.
Radio.
The Poor People's Riot, as they call it, was necessary, it was reasonable, and it was just.
Radio.
And if you get in my way to make sure that that man gets housing or that he gets enough to eat, I will move you.
Radio.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to OCAP Radio here on CKLN 88.1. It's Friday, August 6th, 6:30 p.m. And this week is the start of Prisoners Justice Month and Week here in Toronto. There's going to be a variety of actions and activities around Prisoners Justice Week here in Toronto. One of them that will be happening on August 10th, Saturday, August 10th, is that will actually mark the 35th year of Prisoners Justice Day. And that's a day when we remember those who have died behind bars. And it's a day where prisoners refuse to work and communities come together to publicly oppose prison, police violence, and the criminalization of our communities. And in response to that, there will be a vigil, a discussion, and a free dinner is going to be held at South Riverdale Community Health Center on August 10th from 4 to 5:30. South Riverdale is down at Queen and Pape or thereabouts. And then afterwards, they'll be walking in a procession to the Don Jail for the 6:30 vigil that will be held at the Don Jail in support of prisoners who are being held there. So please join in and contact South Riverdale Community Health Center for more information. In other news, there is a sad news to remark upon today is that Marilyn Buck, a political prisoner who was held for 25 years, Marilyn Buck was an anti-imperialist political prisoner. She was imprisoned for 25 years for her anti-imperialist actions she carried out in support of national liberation, women's liberation, social and economic justice. While in prison, she developed uterine cancer, which resisted treatment, and when she was very seriously ill this year, on July 15, 2010, after 25 years, she was released from prison. However, she died a couple of weeks later, just this week on August 3rd. So it's you know, very poignant that she died just around Prisoners Justice Day. I'd just like to speak a few words about Marilyn Buck and show our honor and solidarity for her. In the 60s, Marilyn participated in protests against racism and the Vietnam War. In 1967, she became part of Students for a Democratic Society. Marilyn became a radical filmmaker and propaganda collective. She became part of it, and they showing films as organizing aid at community meetings, high school groups, workers committees, and in the streets. And she also participated in international solidarity groups supporting the Vietnamese, Palestinians, and the Iranian struggle against the Shah. She worked in solidarity with Native Americans, Mexicano, and Black liberation struggles. As a direct result of all this activity, she became a target of COINTELPRO. In 1973, she was arrested and convicted of buying two boxes of bullets. Accused of being a member of the Black Liberation Army, she was sentenced to 10 years. That's the longest sentence ever given for such an offense at that time. Now, in 1977, she was granted a furlough and never returned. She joined the revolutionary clandestine movement, and in 1985, she was captured and faced four separate court trials. She was charged with conspiracy for freeing political prisoners and POWs, and she was charged with supporting the new African independence struggle through expropriations. In 1988, she was indicted for conspiracy to protest and alter government policies through the use of violence against government and military buildings, and she received an additional 10 years for conspiracy to bomb the capital of America. Now, this is what Judy Greenspan has to say about this. She said this on August 3rd, the day she died. Marilyn died today, not in the hospital, but at Dophia Elijah's house, her close friend and attorney with her friends around her. The Federal Bureau of Prisons and the U.S. criminal justice system killed Marilyn Buck by denying her adequate medical care, careful diagnosis, and timely treatment for her cancer. They allowed her uterine cancer to spread until it was inoperable, and they made her serve every single day of her sentence that they could for her heinous crimes of actively supporting the Black liberation struggle, aiding in the escape of Comrade Azada Shakir, participating in the military political actions against U.S. wars at home and abroad, and remaining defiant and opposed to the U.S. imperialist racist system every day that she was inside the belly of the beast. Marilyn Buck, presente. Along with political prisoners David Gilbert and Laura Whitehorn, Marilyn was interviewed by comrades from the resistance in Brooklyn. You can find those interviews published in the booklet Enemies of the State. Marilyn also wrote a lot of poetry. And in her own words, she, speaking about political prisoners, before she died, she said, "I am also a strong advocate to free political prisoners and POWs and also to take on the U.S. prison plantation system. Being a political prisoner is not my only work. I think it is wasteful and short-sighted to relegate political prisoners to working only around themselves. Just because we are prisoners does not mean we have lost our reasoning and analytical powers. We still have worldviews based on long years of experience. Too many, even in our political movements, would prefer to relegate us to museum pieces, objects of campaigns perhaps, but not political subjects and comrades in an ongoing political struggle against imperialism, oppression, and exploitation. The state tries to isolate us, true. That makes it all the more important not to let it succeed in its proposition. We fight for political identity and association from here. It is important that political forces on the outside do not lose sight of why the state wants to isolate and destroy us, and therefore fight to include us in political life, ideological struggle, etc. In many struggles, many militants have been exiled, yet they still have been considered part of their struggle, not merely objects. We here should be considered internally exiled. Don't lock us into roles as objects or symbols." So those are some very profound and moving words from Marilyn Buck, who died this week after having been released from prison for over 25 years. We'd like to take just a second here for a moment of silence of Marilyn Buck, and then we'll be listening to a song.
Kumariquiñi, Kumarieta,
next.
Kila, Kumarimeli, Kumariquecho, Kumaricayo, Kumarirrey, Kumaripura, Kumariaya, Kila, Mani.
Lautaro era una flecha delgada y elástico y azul fue nuestro padre. Fue su primera edad, solo silencio, su adolescencia fue dominio. Su juventud un viento dirigido, se preparó con una larga lanza. Acostumbró los pies en las cascadas, educó la cabeza en las espinas. El que juntó la prueba del guanaco, vivió en la madriguera de la nieve. Acechó la comida de las águilas, arañó los secretos del peñasco. Entretuvo los pétalos del fuego, se mamantó de primavera fría. Se quemó en las gargantas.
El río vio grave río, le dijo España, detente. El bosque de maitines cuyos hilos verdes cuelgan como temblor de lluvia. Dijo España, no sigas, el alerce titán de la frontera silenciosa. Dijo un trueno en su palabra, pero hasta el fondo de la patria mía. Puño y puñal, el invasor llegaba hacia el río imperial, en cuya orilla mi corazón amaneció en el trébol. Entraba el huracán en la mañana, el ancho cauce de las garzas y va.
La sangre toca un corredor de cuarzo, así nace el Lautaro de la tierra.
Y racimos hacia donde la lluvia resbalaba sobre la agrupación de la pureza. Todo estaba enredado de fragancias, empapado de luz verde y lluviosa. Y en cada matorral de olor amargo era un ramo profundo del invierno o una extraviada formación marina.
La sangre toca un corredor de cuarzo, así nace el amparo de la tierra.
Ella es Pumari, Pumariquín, Mariot, Mariquila, Marimeri, Mariquecho, Maricayo, Marirey, Maricura, Maricaya.
Okay, and what you just heard there, was?
Loud. Okay, let me just say this properly. Saturno Tapia Rabia Lautaro.
Thank you very much. And the voice you just heard there was Tanya. We have Tanya here in the studio. She is from the Women's Coordinating Committee, Chile, Canada. The Women's Coordinating Committee has been around for over 10 years here in Toronto. They are a group that operates in response to repression and issues of Indigenous sovereignty in Chile. And here today we have Tanya to speak about some political prisoners that are being held in Chile and the protest that is planned for next week around that issue. And Tanya's going to tell more about that. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us here. It's always a pleasure to come.
Of course, the work you do is fabulous. Now, can you tell us a bit about the circumstances surrounding the protest next week?
Okay. Well, right now, as the Mapuche political prisoners, which are an indigenous... The Mapuche Nation are indigenous peoples of southern Chile. They have a history of being completely independent. They were the first ones to be independent from Spain in 1641. There was a nation-to-nation treaty signed between the Mapuche Nation and the Spanish Crown. And they have, from then on, obviously, always fought for their own liberation. And so the Chilean state annexed them militarily in 1881, and even then, our people have still always fought for their own sovereignty, for their own freedom. And so, as of now, just to give a brief review about what's been going on in the last little while, right now there are 31 Mapuche political prisoners that are currently being held in Chilean jails all throughout the country that are on hunger strike right now. So it would be about 20 or more odd days that they have been on hunger strike for three things: the liberation of all the Mapuche political prisoners, the abolition of the anti-terrorist law, which is actually enacted by Pinochet back in the 1980s, as well as the abolition of the Chilean military justice law, which is actually helping for a double jeopardy of the political prisoners right now. So they're being tried under the anti-terrorist law, and they're also being tried under military courts simultaneously, which is incredibly horrible.
That's horrible. Now let's go to these anti-terrorist laws that Pinochet brought in. Those are now, had they sat dormant? Is that what went on? Had they sat dormant and now people are being tried under these?
Exactly. Well, it was enacted in 1981. And during the time when Pinochet installed the Chilean constitution. That constitution is still enacted today. No president has ever abolished it since the so-called democracy from 1990 onward. And so what's been going on is basically that every president has basically had the power to install this law. However, in the last little while, it's taken on the characteristic that it's only been applied to Mapuche people that have been fighting for the recognition of their sovereign rights as peoples. And so you have people that are rising up in the south and have been taking over land and land reclamations through different forestry companies or different large landed estates taking an effort into that, to the reclamation.
So they've been reclaiming the land with groups of people and then redispersing it to indigenous folks, to poor people in southern Chile.
Well, basically, yeah, it's all redistributed right back to the indigenous community, mm-hmm. towards the different communities that have been taking on this action. So basically, these communities become retroactive, and so all of these different peoples, they reenact their own sovereign rights just by reclaiming that set of land, where the entire community moves in and actually productively takes over the land and reclaims it as theirs. And so that's been the trend that's been going on for the past 10 years now.
That's amazing. And also what's been going on is that when Mapuche fighters who are reclaiming this land are caught, they're being charged under the terrorist laws.
Exactly.
And now they're also being charged, what you're saying, is simultaneously under military law. How is that possible?
Well, it's not like, for example, the laws that we have, for example, in North America, where the military law is specific to soldiers in wars and whatnot. The military law in Chile goes throughout the entire, includes the police. And so basically you can't exactly sue the police in Chile, because you would have to go under military laws in order for that to happen. So, for example, if someone, for example, a Mapuche person, were to be shot by a cop, for example, like, for example, Matias Cachileo, a 22-year-old who was shot in the back in 2008, and he died from his wounds, If we wanted to claim justice onto that, we would have to go through the military courts, because those are the courts that pertain to
the police.
And so basically, if you are caught with any sort of possession of quote-unquote weapons, because of course we always, you know, those weapons are always quote-unquote, they're not actual weapons, they're hunting rifles, obviously. Mm-hmm. So if you are caught with these hunting rifles or with these weapons, then you are automatically charged under the military laws, which automatically in any other justice system in the world would cause a double jeopardy. So you're being tried under two different systems at once, which is atrocious. It's unheard of anywhere in the world.
That is absolutely atrocious. And here in Canada, in America, there's separate laws that military laws are held under that don't involve as much disclosure of evidence. Is that the same? Is the same true in Chile, where they...
Well, I guess in the sense that there's a disclosure of evidence, there's a complete fault line in terms of the secrecy of it all. Mm-hmm. And so it's very difficult to even have the quote-unquote justice, because the person who's actually serving as a judge, it's not actually impartial. They're actually part of the whole military apparatus. And it's the same military apparatus that has been continuously going into indigenous territories and stealing their land and militarizing into indigenous zones that have decided to take up the struggle of reclaiming what is rightfully theirs. And so essentially what you have in Chile is a sense of urgency, where a lot of a great part of the mobilization has been taken into prison and has been tried under these unjust laws. And so basically what the 200th anniversary of the Chilean state is coming up on September 18th. Mm-hmm. And so this whole mobilization is to try and get a fair trial, which is almost impossible under these laws.
Yeah.
And so our prisoners have had enough of this. They've had hunger strikes before that have had somewhat of a success and somewhat not. This time there's at least 31 prisoners that are now on hunger strike that have decided to take this on. It's now a nationwide campaign, or quote-unquote nationwide campaign, all throughout Chile. So we, the Women's Coordinating Committee, want to support them in all their efforts to be able to reclaim their land,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to get those rights. And so what we want to do here in Toronto is to go out onto the street and protest, which is what we're going to do on Thursday, August 12th at 5 p.m. in front of the Chilean Consulate, which is at 2 Bloor Street West, the corner of Yonge and Bloor. And we're going to be there from 5 to 7 p.m. to try and bring some light into this situation, because our people are risking their lives, they're risking their health for this kind of thing. So.
Mm-hmm. And does this have a wide following in Chile?
Yes, actually, earlier in the week, there was a whole series of marches that took place in all the major cities throughout the country, from Valparaíso to Santiago, Concepción, Temuco, all throughout the indigenous territories in the south, all the way down to Puerto Montt, which is like very, very far south. So this is obviously it's creating a very wide movement in Chile. Unfortunately, obviously the mass media and, of course, the presidency now isn't actually taking notice of this. They're turning a blind eye, of course, to all this mobilization, which is, you know, somewhat expected considering obviously the kind of interest that they're involved with, right?
Absolutely. So. Now, when was the last hunger strike held?
The last hunger strike was held during the Bachelet government or the administration of Michelle Bachelet, which was in 2009, I believe. It was taking place. The last hunger strike took place between August and September, where about the Mapuche political prisoners of
Concepción. So this was the same time last year.
Pretty much, yes.
And you said that it was successful in some ways? In what ways was it successful?
In bringing more to light about the situation.
So getting more information
exactly
out there and broader public awareness.
Especially internationally. But I would say that was one of that in relation to this one, it would probably be minor because it was just localized in one jail. The one hunger strike that really took hold during the Bachelet regime was in 2008 where... during the period of the very end of 2007 to 2008, December, January, February, where a Mapuche, the Mapuche hunger strike lasted for 113 days with Pachisa Troncoso, who nearly died in jail.
That's horrendous. And how is his health today?
Patricia, right now, she's actually doing okay. I don't think she has undertaken a hunger strike now, but there are many other brothers that have taken on the hunger strike right now. And
after going on hunger strike for 113 days, that makes sense. Now, how, with all of the political prisoners being located in different jails, throughout the Chile, how were the prisoners able to coordinate and get the information?
There's a very strong network of people that help out people throughout, that help out our prisoners throughout the country, and I think that's how people were able to. And also because the mobilization of one jail automatically gets the word out to everywhere else, because different political prisoners went on hunger strike at different times.
At different times, I'm seeing that. There's a list. It's starting July 12th, and then it goes on from... So it does sound like there was a network, and people found out you have July 12th to the 21st to the 29th. So
So
it sounds like this was, in fact, a movement of one person starting. Did it start with one prisoner or one jail?
One jail in particular. It was the jail of Concepción. We call it El Manzano, and they started there with the hunger strike there, and then it slowly caught on all throughout all the jails, pretty much, where there are political prisoners, our Mapuche political prisoners, as in a way of solidarity because of this important date that is coming up. Mm-hmm. That is the 200th anniversary of the genocide of our people, pretty much.
The genocide of your people, because when 200 years ago, when Chile became, quote-unquote, a nation, it coincided with the attempted genocide of indigenous people in...
Yes. In 1810, the Chilean state was, quote-unquote, enacted, and in 1818, the first constitution was drafted where Bernardo O'Higgins, which is one of the forefathers of Chile, actually annexed... at least on paper, the Mapuche territory to the Chilean state, even though the Mapuche nation was 100% autonomous at the time, and even though there were treaties between the Mapuche people and the Spanish crown dictating that there was an actual border between Concepcion and the Biobío River all the way south. And so this is something that has been part of Chile's history, and whether or not Chileans like to accept it or not, it is the anniversary of the genocide of our peoples, because after prolonged wars of expansion that Chile took place during the 1850s and 1860s further north with nations such as Peru and Bolivia, they decided to expand south to take over indigenous territories because of the economic slowdown that was taking place at the time. And so basically the entire history of the Chilean state is based on an expansion and genocide of indigenous peoples. And so despite the rhetoric of independence and being able to freely guide their own destiny, the fact was is that they did it on the backs of our people.
They're denying another entire
nation, exactly.
Nation, the right to do that on their own.
Exactly.
Wow, that's not something that is regularly taught in your history of Chile. Well, it's a tremendous work that the Women's Coordinating Committee is doing around these issues. And again, I just want to talk about the protest that's going to be, next Thursday.
Yes.
And that's the August the
12th.
12th is next Thursday. And that's at 5 p.m.
Yes.
At the Chilean consulate. Mm-hmm. That is at number 2 Bloor Street.
Exactly.
I know that there's going to be lots of people there. It's going to be 2 hours of a great rally and protest of what's happening. And we want to send as much love as we can to the political prisoners who are on hunger strike.
Thank you so much.
Up to 30 days. That's incredible.
Yeah, and actually the protest is going to mark the 30-day mark for the first jail that took place in the hunger strike. So
they'll be 30 days, and I don't think any of us can really. There's not very many people who can imagine doing that, and that speaks volumes to what's happening in Chile.
Exactly. There's also one minor thing I want to throw out there as well that people should know is that because the Women's Coordinating Committee has been working very well in terms of trying to engage the community here, the activist community here, about what's been going on with our peoples here and the connection with issues of Indigenous sovereignty here in Canada, and as well and everything that's been happening in Toronto throughout the last little while, we wanted to stretch out the solidarity towards non-Mapuche political prisoners in Chile, and as well to our solidarity towards the G20 arrestees and wanted peoples for here. So just to throw that out there because it needs to be said.
And these issues are you know,
just as open and just as relevant here as they are in Chile.
And those are brother and sister struggles happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's fantastic, and we congratulate the work that you're doing, and thank you so much for coming on OCAP Radio tonight.
No problem.
Us.
My pleasure and honor, as always.
As always, and we'll see everyone there on Thursday, August 12th. Thanks so much, Tanya. And that just about wraps up our show for this evening. You've been listening to OCAP Radio here on CKLN 88.1. As always, I want to remind people that OCAP is a non-funded organization that works with volunteers. If you'd like to donate to OCAP, please go to OCAP.ca. OCAP.ca also has all the information on upcoming actions and issues that OCAP is working on. So it's just a wealth of information. Please go there and check out everything that's on there. And always looking for donations for the fundraising for OCAP. I can't stress that enough. And I just want to thank, as always, my tech person who is sitting in the studio here and does a beautiful job teching every week. And to Susie, also from CKLN 88.1, who does a great job supporting OCAP Radio every 2 weeks. And I want to thank again our guest, Tanya, from the Women's Chile
Women's Committee, Chile Canada.
Thanks so much for being here, and we'll be back again in 2 weeks to speak to you all then. Thanks so much. Have a great night. And up next is Albario. Is a wonderful show here on CKLN 88.1.
América, tierra vendida, explotada y herida. América con corrupción, malos trabajos, explotación, educación racista, clasista. Hay muchos blancos elitistas. América con dictadores, asesinos, traficantes, malnacidos. América, mi tierra en pie de guerra. América con genocidios por colonos no bienvenidos. América con colon igual, muerte, destrucción. América con héroes, aunque el gobierno nos niegue. América con mucha gente inconsciente. siente América, con muy pocos inteligentes. América con desforestación que es igual a la tierra. Muerte, destrucción. América, América, esto es América. América, América, esto es América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. América, América, esto es América. América, América, esto es América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. América, tierra de sabor, rima Sánchez Amador. Amo mi tierra y cultura, yo lengua dura, dura mi gente morena, pelo negro, yo te respeto, te amo. América, India, ya te bendiga, mi América, Pachamama, esta es mi cama. Recuerda que el Perú es igual que tú. Who are you, boo, un vudú, güerito explotador, mamá la pinga, por favor. Yo, América, América, esto es América, 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 esto es América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. América, América, esto es América, 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 esto es América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. Dedico esto para ti, porque soy de aquí, con todo el corazón. Soy tu caparazón, acción que pocos toman, porque mucho alcohol toman. Recuerda que eso los mapuches hundió, la falsa religión, también la muerte apoyó. Yo hablo de historia, geografía, de tierra, y aunque los maricas les duela como un dolor de muela, América, suelo, tierra, sudor y escuela. América, América, esto es América, 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 esto es América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. América, América, esto es América, 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 esto es América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. Cuando Dios hizo el Edén, pensó en América. Piensa América, sueña América.
Del culo del mundo.